to the Terrordome, baby.
We swarm.
Welcome to the Terrordome.
We swarm. Let them know.
We swarm, baby.
We swarm, baby. All day long.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the first ever live edition of Tales from the Terrordome. Last night was crazy. Last night was biblical.
We streaming now? What are we doing?
Hey, man.
We going live?
Look, man, if Metallica can play in Lane Stadium for the first time in 25 years, your boy Dan can go live on Twitter. We're doing video tonight. It's special. Like I said, it was biblical. It was so spiritual. The earth shook. And then the cardinals all the way in the Vatican decided on a pope at the same time. And you can't tell me that's just a coincidence, baby. It had everything to do with what happened in Blacksburg, Virginia yesterday. People call stuff a movie. Yesterday was a movie. Brian from Boundary Corner was also there. That's why he's here with me. How you doing, my man?
Brother, it was a hell of an experience in Blacksburg yesterday. Nothing short of, as you said, biblical, man. Getting to see Metallica in Lane Stadium was a once-in-a-lifetime experience, man. Whether they come back or not, seeing it for the first time live in Lane is once-in-a-lifetime. Because you're not gonna repeat that first-time experience, so... The fact that we got to witness that was just something that I can't even really put into words. Obviously, you can hear my voice is still a little loud here from screaming yesterday. I got back at 3:30 in the morning, still rolled in at 8 a.m. to start my work day, but it was all worth it, man.
Hell yeah. Oh, man. Wow. So yesterday, right, like traffic was awful. Getting into Blacksburg, you're like, when are we going to get there? When are we going to figure this out? Like, what's going to happen? And then, like, you finally get to the tailgate, you know, Miller Latte is cold, ready to go. There's a margarita machine. We got Jello shots, but apparently had, like, 3 shots of tequila per Jello shot. Like, there were other varietals.
Those were, they were potent. They were potent.
Yeah, man, it was.
But that's what you want.
May it burn your taste buds off, brother. But we had good food. You know, Steven cooked up those fajitas. The ladies, the awesome ladies like Mary and Karen, and they brought Brooke, Hack's girlfriend Brooke. She came with them spicy but like sweet cookies. And I was like, look, I'm not trying to be this beautiful anymore. I'm trying to lose the beauty. And you're making it hard right now with these cookies, man.
I had 2 myself, and I was only at the tailgate for like 45 minutes.
Yeah, it was. You came in from Richmond. 81 South was stupid.
It was dumb. It was dumb. I had a volunteer thing at work that kept me here until 11:30. Had to come back, shower real quick, and hit the road. We end up, you know, leaving here a little after noon. Probably lost about an hour in traffic, I would say, between some stuff just past Charlottesville, a little more stuff, pretty much down all of 81. Although once you got past Salem, it was actually pretty decent until you really got into town. And then we parked at Kroger, walked over. Had a few beers, had a few drinks, had a little bit of food, kicked it with Dan and them. And then we walked on in, man. We were checking out the merch shops. We got 3 t-shirts. We got, you know, unfortunately all the posters were gone. So that was one of the things that was on our list that we weren't able to get. But I'm sure there's going to be some folks selling those out there somewhere where we can get our hands on one of those authentic ones. Because there's a bunch of knockoffs rolling around the internet right now, too.
Yeah, people were trying to hustle on them shirts. It was the weather was great yesterday. We parked at Kroger, too. We walked. We took the Huckleberry over to the tailgate spot. Yesterday was the weather that the spring game should have had. It was amazing. And I've said this before. As far as Metallica goes, like, I'm very aware of, like, them and a lot of their songs. I'm not like a massive Metallica guy. I do like rock music. You know, I like all sorts of music, but like, it just, I'm never like really like, man, I got to listen to that Metallica. But I was on the boat of, hey, your boy has jumped to these fools for 20 some years. Like, and they're going to be at Lane Stadium. Like, I have to go. Like, if this was like a DC show or so, I probably would have been like, nah, I'm cool. I'm not going. I'll catch the videos online, whatever. But this one I had to be at, and it far exceeded anything that I expected. And I expected them to put on a great show because they're a great band. But like, it was like literally legitimately, like, even if you only knew like two Metallica songs or you just came for Sandman, I feel like you left with one hell of an experience.
Yeah, from start to finish, man, they did a really good job putting not just, you know, playing the hits, but putting on a show. You know, they mixed it up. They had some kind of pre-recorded things to kind of, you know, blend from one track to another, especially when there was a little bit of a gap there. So, I mean, the production was great. They did a really good job with kind of mixing in some of the deeper cuts with, you know, what folks can hear on the radio and stuff like that. So I thought it was a great show. Definitely exceeded my expectations. The expectations were high. And somehow they blew those out of the water.
Yeah. Can you pull up? There was a guy last night that came up randomly, like right beside me, at the guardrail for like legitimately 30 minutes. Can you please, this dude, you talk about out of body experience. This is the definition of out of the body experience. That dude legitimately like randomly showed up 30 minutes nonstop, like two or three fist bumps. Yeah, man. Like in between. And then all of a sudden just dashes back off to his seat wherever he was sitting. Like, it was amazing. Shout out to that guy. I don't know who he is, but brother, congratulations.
He was feeling something. I don't know what it was, but he was feeling something. We had a dude in our section that for whatever reason, I don't know. Douchebag, not sure. Kind of seemed a little douchey, but like, he came up, wasn't really in his area, was just kind of floating like up at the guardrail. But like, mm-hmm. randomly walked two rows back and like stood right in front of my son. And I'm like, this is not your seat. You're just going, that's where you pick? And he was like, he was completely out of it. But I'm like, hey man, you gotta slide down. You gotta slide down. You can't do that.
Yeah. That's crazy. So Wyatt, you brought the youngin', the young bull, man. How did it go for him? He's a big Metallica guy, right?
He is a huge Metallica guy. He's been, I've got some videos where from when he was a toddler, he was like just speaking clearly at that point. And he would, we had an Alexa in the house and he was like, Alexa, play Enter Sandman. And he's like, he starts like hopping around the room. I'm like, what are you doing, bro? And he's like, when Sandman comes on, you got to start jumping. And I mean, he's been listening to Metallica ever since, man. He's into the deep cuts. He'll like, that's like one of the things he'll throw him in his bedroom when it's like, when he's just hanging out and chilling. So he's a huge Metallica fan, probably even more so than me. Which is, you know, saying a little bit, at least I'm a pretty big fan, not like, you know, elite level, but, I enjoy myself some Metallica, but he's definitely a bigger fan than I am. And he had himself a blast, man. He was screaming along with it, like pumping his fist. He was having a good time, man. It was probably his first. We've been to like some festivals and stuff, but this was like his first like arena, you know, stadium type concert. So he had a blast, man.
Yeah, I mean, like, I guess my first introduction was when I was a kid. My parents are divorced, but my dad would pick me up some weekends. And it was always kind of like the same routine on Saturday. Like, he'd pick me up, he'd go to Nautilus, he'd put me in the daycare thing. He would go work out, like do like his, he was like really into lifting. And then he'd pick me, he'd get me. We'd go to Taco Bell. It'd be three soft tacos for me. We'd go to his house. He would clean his house. He would put me in front of the TV. He would turn on WCW or WWF. And then he would go jam. And it was always like Guns N' Roses, Motley Crue, Metallica, Poison, one of them. I know vastly different in their own ways, but and then as you get older, I had friends that were big into Metallica, so like I always heard Metallica stuff. Like you just can't help but like even if you thought you didn't know Metallica songs, if you were there last night, I guarantee you knew at least six or seven, or at least recognized six or seven. And like for being as old as they are, dude, like they did not disappoint. And that the intro one that you caught was absolutely amazing.
Oh yeah, before we get into that, let me I wanted to share the set list that we had so we can kind of run through kind of what we were looking at.
Yeah, so they combined two nights into a playlist, so they just selected because Lane was one night only, apparently they just they made their own custom playlist for the Hokies. Because they're doing two nights I think everywhere, so like a lot of those songs aren't on the same night, so I guess they just kind of were like, all right, so this is what we're doing.
Yeah, and let's talk about that a little bit, because it was a 2 hour show. Like they played for 2 hours, went on probably by the time they actually went on, it was it was slated for 8:30. It was probably 8:45, 8:50 before they actually went on, and they played damn near till 11. It was right at 11 when we were walking out. I think it was about 11:30 by the time we got back to Kroger. So, it was awesome. Getting the they played Enter Sandman in the classic way. They have their own video production up there. We got a clip we can show you of that here. Then rolled into Creeping Death and For Whom the Bell Tolls. What were your highlights, man? We can talk about highlights real quick before we get into some of the videos. As far as the set list is concerned,
I mean, obviously that Sandman was spiritual. I think you expected it to be great, and then it just completely. It blew that out of the water. From Whom the Bell Tolls, Faster, Fuel.
Yep.
Fuel was with the fire. Like that. It was amazing.
You think James still gets like PTSD when the pyro goes off?
He might. but as long as Axel's not there, I think he might feel a little better about it. Yeah, those were probably one was really good. Nothing Else Matters, I've always been a fan of. Sad but True. Like, I thought they really delivered. Obviously, I didn't know any of the new, like, stuff off the new album because I haven't listened to it. But, like, I was, like, thoroughly impressed with how these dudes brought it. Being that old, you expect a little bit of a fall off. But, like, the music was crisp and Hetfield was crisp. Like, it was a hell of a performance. It doesn't seem like they've lost too much of a step in all the years they've been doing it. What about yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge fan of One. Like the intro to that, we'll show you in a second. That was incredible. But really, I mean, that the last four, like they closed hard.
Mm-hmm.
You got One, Seek and Destroy, Master of Puppets, and then Sam. And like that's like Murderer's Row.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a crazy nonstop sprint to the end.
Yeah, and I mean, that's covering like you're looking at about a 8 or 10 year period and like some of the biggest songs in that 8 or 10 year period of their career. And I mean, just one after the other.
Yeah, I guess so. I had seen them before. I saw them at the Verizon Center in DC after Death Magnetic came out.
Okay.
And they were good, but I don't know if it was where they were in the Verizon Center or just that particular tour, but the theatrics of that show weren't the best. But this one, they really, they brought it with everything. It was crazy.
All right, so let's share a clip here. You want me to start with the that one intro?
Oh yeah.
Thank you.
Beautiful, beautiful, and like set the mood completely for what they were doing with that song, man. And I mean, let's talk about like the unsung hero here, and that's just Lane Stadium itself. Like,
dude,
has it looked any better?
No, like it was. I was telling people yesterday, I know where I am, and I it's very familiar to me, but a lot of this doesn't feel familiar at all. Like, it was like something crazy was transplanted into a world that we're used to. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, it was like from the obviously no field, like the whole setup with the big LED and the screens. And I got a great picture that I posted on Instagram of the Virginia Tech video board with the lights or with the sunset and the whole, like, the poster that they put up on the their screens.
Oh yeah.
And it was I was just like, God's country, dude. Like, that's what Morgan Wallen meant when he said getting back to God's country.
That's what he meant.
He meant get me to Lane Stadium for this once in a lifetime Metallica tour. And I didn't see Suicidal Tendencies. I didn't get in time. Obviously I wasn't pressed about it. Pantera was great. Everybody knows Walk. I'm pretty sure I'm a big wrestling fan. RVD came out to that for a long time. So like they jammed too, dude. They were great. Like my ears were shot by the end of their set, basically. So then Metallica just continued to bludgeon them, but I mean, it was fine. You knew what you were getting to. I couldn't imagine being in that snake pit, being that close to that. Cause it was loud as hell where I was.
That would have been crazy. I would have loved to experience that. I would have liked to just been down on the main floor too, like on the field. Yeah. That would have been cool.
People, I got to walk through the tunnel to get to the floor. Like that would have been, if I got to walk through the tunnel and to onto Lane Stadium for a concert, like that would have been crazy. I hope, like, I know this was a special thing, like Metallica, Virginia Tech. We now have content for generations, but like I would like for them in the NIL era, man, to like come back like every year or something somewhere in Blacksburg with a concert that benefits, you know, NIL, Hokie Sports, Athletics. Like it doesn't have not Metallica per se, but like somebody. Like there's like Luke Combs went to App State. I know he would love to play Lane Stadium. Like I'm sure even Morgan would play Lane Stadium, or like some of these other rock bands would play Lane Stadium. Like it, especially after seeing that. And like, I'm pretty sure Metallica can vouch that they had a blast last night playing there.
Yeah. And if you can get people out to Boone, North Carolina, you can get people out to Blacksburg.
Cause it's very similar. Like, as far as like, I mean, there's no easy way to get to Boone and there's no easy way to get to Blacksburg. Depending on what your definition is.
But all of them are still, you know, 15 miles, 10 miles off of a major interstate. So it's like, it's kind of the same. Like, I mean, everyone's traveling up and down, you know, 40. Everybody's traveling up and down 81. You can get there pretty easy. It's not necessarily near a major city hub, either of them. But, you know, there's some geography around there that you can have as, you know, your infrastructure and support. You got Roanoke around there. So, you know, just like, you know, Boone's kind of got what Statesville's around there, Asheville, if you go a little bit further down. So like, you know, there's some support in their area for like, you know, taking some of the brunt of the hotel stuff, as long as you don't mind a 30 minute to an hour drive in.
And I'm not glazing by any means. I know people accuse me of being a rider. I'm going to edit out the first part. This is a Wendy's. This is a family show. Not really. We cuss all the time, but our head coach, dude, Brent Pry, looked badass yesterday. Like, he had the glasses on. He had the Metallica Virginia Tech shirt. Like, he looked like it was just a natural fit for him to be there. Like, in that, like, I just can't, like, not, like, no knock on Foo, but I can't imagine, like, Fuente being the one in that moment. And I feel like Brent Pry was, like, the perfect personality slash person to liaison Metallica finally coming to Blacksburg. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. The way he met him, like, he just looked like, he just looked the part.
He does a good job of, like, keeping it high level, and but at the same time, like, making you feel comfortable. Like, I think that's, that, you know, he's got that mayor characteristic, for lack of a better word. Like, you know, he can shake the hands, he can kiss the babies, he can have a conversation with anybody. He doesn't ever seem out of place in social situations. And we all know Fuente seemed out of place in a lot of social situations.
But even I have a hard time imagining, like, Frank hanging out with Metallica. Like, I have no doubts he could have done it. But, like, I feel like, I don't know, I guess Pry is almost, like, in that proper age range of Metallica, I guess, you know? I don't know if that's his thing, but, I mean, it looked like. It just looked like it belonged from the videos they put out.
Yeah, I think they did a good job with that. I don't know if we want to touch on what jerseys they got or not.
Yeah, let's do it. Because, like, I don't know if I care that much. Because I don't feel like – I feel like Metallica is going to take those jerseys. They're going to fold them up. They're going to put them wherever they put all their other mementos, and that's going to be the end of it.
I don't think it makes a difference to them which ones they got. I think it makes a difference to us. I think we see that and we're like, okay, well, we couldn't even give them, you know, four jerseys that are the most recent jersey that we have. Like, we had to, you know, give these ones that we could basically, you know, give away at this point because nobody liked them to begin with.
No, I agree with that. Like, for us, it's kind of like, hey, like, yeah, you know, but, like, I don't know. I didn't care that much, but at the same time, like, if they would have given them the new jerseys, that would have been cool. But then again, Nike delayed us on those for how many months? And then, that's, like, true. Yeah. So how many extras do they have? Like, I don't know. I don't know the answer.
Yeah, I don't know how many extras they have. And like I said, I don't think they care. And I don't think they, even if they did know the difference, wouldn't have felt slighted by it. Yeah. It's just that I think it matters to us a lot more than it matters to them.
No, it always does. Which is the way it's supposed to go. We're the fans, you know.
Yeah, yeah. We give a shit because we know about it, and we want to put our best foot forward. And it in some ways that may appear, at least to us internally, that we didn't do so.
Right, and I mean, they finally came and played. It was well worth it. I think a lot of people that are from around that area that are big Metallica people that could ever make it to DC or wherever for a show, I think this was like the perfect thing for them as well.
Yeah, man. And it meant a lot to a lot of people, I think. And, you know, it's funny going back, you know, people reminiscing about, okay, we had a arm wrestling contest in the video department that ultimately determined that this got played. And now, you know, you're looking back on it 25 years later, like one small piece of hokey history led to this, and everything in the middle, like, a, you know, so much of, at least even now, the national attention that this school gets, unfortunately, is tied to Metallica and to Enter Sandman. And, you know, it is nice because you're going to have a little bit of a balloon effect on this, because if you look at social media, you've got almost the entirety of the football sports world following that last night with retweets and all that stuff. And you got all of the rock world posting about it too. You got rock publications. You got all these people that follow like metal and thrash scene that are posting about it. So you've got two different sections of social media that are following this one event that took place in Blacksburg, Virginia.
Yeah, no, amazing. I had a great time. I said there were winners and losers. I tweeted that today. The winners were the bands, concessions, the fans. Virginia Tech football, and the losers were traffic control. It took me 2 hours to get from Southgate to 81, and then the other one was sleep. Nobody slept.
Nobody slept.
If you had to work today, you didn't sleep.
Man, it was I agree with you on that. I think from where I was, because when we parked at Kroger and we came out, like, by the time we got in the flow of traffic, it was pretty straightforward. We moved pretty good. We got out of there. Like I said, we left, probably got on the road 11:45, right at midnight. We pulled into Mechanicsville about 3:15. So we weren't, you know, too far behind normal time there, about 30 minutes. So we'll say we waited, you know, in traffic between, you know, Kroger and 81 for about 30 minutes there, where, you know, I can normally do that in, you know, 10 or 15. But I mean, there was some, I think the logistics of the parking and things like that could have been a little better. But as far as everything that took place once you were at or in the gate, zero complaints, like, crushed it.
Oh, I agree with that. I agree with that for sure. Yeah, overall, great experience. I think the fact that you had like a 4-hour entrance period of people going in early, or they wanted to see they didn't go until Pantera, or they didn't come until Metallica, it definitely worked in the gate's favor as far as getting people in.
Yeah, you don't have a bum rush of everybody trying to get in at one time, except for people that, you know, waited all the way until, you know, whatever, 8:30. But most, to our credit, by the time Pantera started, 75, 80, maybe even 90% of the folks that were coming to the show were in the gates. Like, there wasn't that many seats in there by the time Pantera started their set. So,
right.
I think folks, you know, took that first hour, took their time getting in. But after that, you know, in the time it was open before that, but after that, everybody was in the gates and having a good time. And it was a blast, man.
Yeah, I didn't see. I only saw one person get arrested, and that was during Sandman at the end.
Oh yeah,
dude was he's just trying to fight somebody. But that dude had been sitting down.
Sandman, come on, man.
Yeah, but this dude had been crushing, like, he was chugging Bold Rocks. Like, I saw him, and then he was like trying to fight this young kid that probably looked like 25 years younger than him, and I was like, brother. That's what you want to do right now? Like, come on.
Old heads fighting like college kids is always goofy to me. Like, what are you doing, man?
old heads pounding Bold Rock like Steve Weiser or Stone Cold Steve Austin is always crazy to me, too. So.
I'll have to fucking take some insulin after that shit. What the fuck?
Yeah, like, eat a gummy or something, man. Like do something. Like, chill. Like, it's not a big deal, you know? But, yeah, dude, overall, good vibes everywhere. I thought the mingling of the strictly, you know, we're here for because the Hokies and Metallica, or we're here just for Metallica, but Blacksburg was the closest destination. I thought it was a good mixture, and I thought everybody coexisted well. But you could definitely tell who was there for what.
Yeah, so, you know, there was a whole lot of in the middle, but there was a good sized subset of folks that were just there for Metallica or Pantera in this case, and folks that are just there because of Virginia Tech, and this is kind of a proximity relationship here. And then you had a whole bunch of people like me and you that love one and were into the other enough where we didn't feel out of place or, you know, losing our way through the process, other than Enter Sandman. Like, there were a lot of us here that were there for more than just that. So,
yeah, and also forgot that Zach Wilde plays guitar for Pantera now, and I saw him in like 2006 or seven. It was damn near 20 years ago at this place called Jack's in Springfield. I don't even know if it still exists anymore, but at Black Label Society, like, they were just getting started. So I went to that, and I felt so out of place at that. I had no idea what the hell I was getting into. Like, one of my friends at the time, no longer friends, but whatever. He was probably there last night, actually. He was, got me into Metallica, sort of, but he was a big Zakk Wylde Black Label guy, so I went with him, and like it was a good show, and they jammed hard, but he's like one of those iconic rock stars now. And I think like if you're going to not replace Dimebag Darrell, but like get somebody of that stature, like Zakk Wylde was probably the perfect one to go for.
Yeah. I mean, he played with Ozzy. So, I mean, he's got the credibility big time to,
yeah,
to roll with really anybody. So yeah, if you're going to replace Dimebag Darrell, then you could do a whole lot worse than Zakk Wylde.
Yeah. Plus like, I just felt energized today. Like I woke up, I was like, brother, like I haven't podcasted in a while. Life's been kind of crazy. Like I did the James Junkum episode last week, and that was really good. I'm really excited for that kid. But I was like, the optimist in me, or the Miller Lights, I don't know, the Miller Lattes, I don't know what it was, but I was like, you know what? The field's gone. Metallica just played here for the first time ever. Substation 2 is coming back to Blacksburg. Like, maybe that's what we needed to get rid of this bad voodoo juju surrounding our football team.
What an announcement, getting Substation 2 back today, man.
Yeah. It was the right thing to do. It was the right thing to do.
Yeah, I think, you know, it was heavily mourned, and it's nice that it's coming back, and it sounds like it's going to be ready to go by fall. So,
yeah. Yeah, it's
coming in
and
have a good time with it. Yeah, us old heads that, you know, I've always loved it can get back in. So,
yeah. And shout out to the cop last night that helped everybody get out of traffic, but he said something hilarious. Steven and I had our windows down. We weren't moving. And he was there, and he was like, yeah, well, I guess the good news about this is everybody driving will be sober enough by the time they hit 81. And I was like, good Lord, dude. Like, I mean, I get it. Like, I guess you got to they probably see so much stuff. Like, you got to joke about it. But
there's an amount of acknowledgement that goes on when you are in a college town.
Yeah.
Especially a college town that has a heavy presence with, you know, sports attendance and things like that. And you're going to see a healthy amount of that. And there's, you know, you're not going to be able to check everybody. I mean, and you don't want them to, like, if you're causing a problem, you're causing a problem. But like at some point, if you were out there just, you know, running traffic stops every weekend, all you know, you'd have a jail filled every weekend. You wouldn't be able to maintain that. So,
no, that's what I'm saying. I grew up in Harrisonburg, Virginia. James Madison University, JMU, everybody knows it. Like if you get pulled by a university policeman, they're not trying to do that. So you legitimately deserved it because they are trying their best and not like they do not want the paperwork. They do not want to fool with whatever you did. Like if you get arrested, you probably left them no choice.
Yeah. Exactly.
And Blacksburg's probably the same way.
I'm sure. And, you know, it's a little different where, so like going to Hamden City, being in Farmville a lot, Farmville cops were a little bit different because they were very much, if you're out and about, you're not on campus, you walk out of a bar, if you're not immediately going into a vehicle, which is dumb, it's like, okay, so you're, because they give a lot of drunken publics in Farmville, and it's like, so you're encouraging folks to do something different other than walk the three blocks from the bar to wherever they're living on campus. I'm like, just figure this out, man. It's not that hard.
No, I agree. I didn't see. I think I only saw emergency services go into the snake pit once last night. So that thing was packed in, buddy. So
yeah, I saw somebody get walked out at one point. They weren't like on a stretcher or anything. They just got walked out, you know, getting medical attention. Looked like they either got overheated or got pushed down and, you know, needed some quick treatment, but you know, nothing got out of hand. Yeah, I think they rolled through with one other crew at one other point. So like maybe one or two people had to actually, you know, get some attention there, but everything seemed to go off without a hitch, man. Really no big problems. other than the fight you saw there during Sandman.
Yeah, and it wasn't even, dude was trying to fight. Like, he didn't even get a chance to fight him. Like, so it was, I was just like, hey, man, how you make it to the end and then you're going to jail? Like, that's crazy. But
Bold Rocks will get after you, man.
I guess. I don't drink them. And it's not because I look, man, I bartended forever. Like, I've been in food and beverage forever. Like, I'm of the opinion I don't drink shame unless it's Bloody Mary's after 4 p.m. or Long Island iced teas. But, like, if you like it, drink it. You're paying for it. You're spending the money. Drink what you like. But don't sit here chugging ciders and then be like, hey, man, like, I'm fight this college kid and I'm 54 years old or however. Like, don't do it, because it's a lose-lose for you. One, you beat up a college kid, or two, you got beat up by a college kid, or three, you got arrested trying to fight a college kid. So congratulations. Like, you know,
there's no way you get out of that not looking like an asshole.
Yeah, dude, it's like, yeah, it's like the meme where the person puts out the thumbs up and then the whole or they say something and then the one dude in the group puts out the thumbs up and then brings it back. But
hey, Jim's got an update from the field.
Oh man, a lady walks out with her barf bag. Did she make it in the barf bag or did she puke on the field?
Did she spear?
Because if it went in the barf bag, then she did her job. Like,
that's what it's for. Also, yeah. Kudos to you for having a barf bag, unless that was something that was given to them by the medical attendants. I don't know if they got to her before she actually had to puke or what, but if you come prepared with your own barf bag, that's a new kind of preparation that I'm not aware of.
That is self-awareness 101.
I'm in that, like, vomit free since 93 crowd. So, like, I don't puke unless I get real drunk.
Yeah, what was another part of that show that was, like, a great, like, another great moment for you? Like, what out of the clips we saw or have, like, which one?
I mean, rolling into Fuel was epic, because I feel like that was, like, a good, you kind of got to the middle, and it kind of, that was, like, the rise back up at the back half of the middle of the show. I feel like that's when I think everybody really kind of settled in for the rest of the night, because there was really nothing after that. I mean, it was just like hit after hit after hit.
Dang. Do we have that video?
We have Fuel here. Let me throw it on here. And I think that's James with the first fuck of the episode.
Yeah.
You got it in the clip.
Yeah. The first one. Yeah, dude, it was just crazy. He was like, give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire. And then the flames would go insane. And I was like, yeah, this is great. I loved my seat, by the way. There's a little guardrail in there because I was like up against it, like right by the stairs. But it was perfect. But the only con was people had to use the bathroom. They would come out. So I would get out to let them out, being a nice person. And then like 40 people would come down the steps, and then I couldn't get back up into my seat. So then I was just in the way of like three different avenues of traffic. So I don't know who was the asshole at that point, me or them. But no, it was great. 50 yard line, row PP. Ha ha ha. But, yeah. But no, it was definitely a great experience. Man, I just really can't. Like, I'm glad it finally happened. Like, so many people deserved that shit last night.
Yeah, we were located over on, we were in South End Zone 104, right in Corps Cadet territory, Row D. So we were a little bit lower. We were probably like right where we were was like just above like stage height. So visibility was pretty good, but like, I think y'all had a good vantage point to see kind of where everything was.
Yeah.
Without looking through stuff. You know, we, we were a little bit closer, but like, you know, the angles mm-hmm. were a little bit different there. But I mean, we were kind of right up on it, like about as close as you can get without being on the field. So,
cool. Like our whole section leading up to Metallica coming out, we were like, where's the drum set, dude? Like there were no drum sets, there were no anything. And we were like, is the drums, are the AI? Is this man going to zoom in like Ron Crook on the drums? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, like, where is it? And then all of a sudden it just shows up. I don't know if like right when the inner Sam, like the, not the Sandman performance, but the intro audio Sandman, like they just appeared. And I was like, yeah. Were there like hydraulics under the stage that came up? But they kept moving it around, so I thought maybe it was on like some little platform that had a moving mechanism where they could just swivel that thing around the stage.
Yeah, the only thing I wasn't sure of is that when it kind of passed the platforms, like I get it moving on the like the north and the south end, but when I'm wondering how they got it around those two rising platforms that were east and west. I don't know if there was like, you know, 4 points where they would move it down, move it over, and then move it back up or what they did. But yeah, they were able to get that in all four corners of the circle there of the pit. So that was kind of cool to see how that moved around and how they kind of did something different with it every time. I was like, all right, so as soon as I saw it hit the first two, I was like, all right, so we're at least gonna work our way all the way around here.
Yeah.
Kind of know where you are in the performance, depending on where the drum set was.
Absolutely. And yeah, like I said, Seek and Destroy was great. Master of Puppets, all of that was just phenomenal.
The close went so damn hard, man. Those last four were like pow, 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 pow. I'm like, damn, okay. Okay. Oh, of note, I don't think I have a clip of it, but when it hit the Master of Puppets chorus, and all of Lane was screaming master, and that shit was like reverberating. Like that was almost as loud as Sandman.
Yeah.
That was almost as loud as Sandman.
Yeah, that was great. And then I did the fake goodbye. With obviously hadn't played Sandman yet. So you're
yeah.
Like, all right, buddy. Let's get to it. And then
chop.
Yeah. And then it just went insane. It went absolutely insane.
Yeah, man, we saw some funny stuff. We had the Creeping Death. You know, they rolled into that. They did, Sandman out the gate as if it was a game. That was really cool. Not every venue is getting that, obviously. So, like, it's cool to have that piece of it be something that's different for Lane that nobody else is getting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they typically close with Enter Sandman, but the circumstances were a little bit different here. And then throwing it at the beginning to kind of get everybody riled up as they would be typically in that arena, in that stadium. It was, I think that was a good touch.
I agree.
What other clips do we want to throw out here for the listeners and watchers tonight?
What haven't we...
We got the wheelchair guy.
Yeah, man, surfing. That dude won the night, man. Throw him up there. The dude crowd surfing in the wheelchair.
Man, that was wild. So there's another clip out there that I wanted to throw in here. This has kind of been circulating around social media, but it is, you know, what I was just talking about there when they played Sandman, you know, as they were coming out, and it's James kind of taking in everything going on. And that was a pretty cool moment. Shout out Nathan Gray, I think was the one that shared this on Twitter. But I'll throw that out here real quick next, and everybody can take a look at that.
Let's go!
That's cool, man. That's cool.
Amazing. Well, Brian, dude, man, I didn't want to keep everybody too long tonight. I did want to get on here and talk about this concert, man, because I was juiced about it. But yeah, man, I appreciate you coming on here and doing this with me tonight. It's a different way of doing Tales from the Terror Dome. It's not usually done like this, but Metallica also doesn't usually play Lane Stadium, so had to match that energy. Had to match that freak, baby.
That's right, man. We were like, we got all these things. It's like we can talk about it, or we can show a little bit of it and kind of get folks that, you know, didn't get a chance to be there, give them a little taste, give our takes along with giving them that little taste as well, and kind of what we captured and how we saw it and how we felt, man. It was unlike anything else I've ever experienced, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah. And you know, Hokie news, man, make sure the ladies right now, softball, are playing North Carolina on ACC Network in the ACC tournament softball quarterfinals. So go show them some love when you exit here. And, you know, normally I'm the one that says, as always, go Hokies. But via Hokie Sports, via Metallica, we're going to let James Hetfield do that for us tonight.
Let's go! Let's go! Let's go!